Two drinks. She's done it before. We have 20 minutes. Is that okay, height wise?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Okay. First of all, thank you for having me. And if I knew you were going to read my bio, I would have not written all of that. that was a bit, anyway. But yeah, thank you for having me. It's been lovely. It's been a lovely day. I arrived really early and we've been seeing the city, and we've got a really, really amazing city, and you've got a lot of talent. So this is lovely. The other thing I need to tell you is I've got 2 cups of hot water and I'm likely going to cough a lot. So bear with me and forgive me. With that, I'm going to start with a poem called Devi. And it means goddess. So where I'm from in Nepal, it's quite common to initiate something, to begin something with a nod to divinity. And in this poem, through this poem, I'd like to give a nod to the divine that resides in all of us. So Devi, there are gods in every corner. The only thing keeping us from evicting them is our belief that everything is still possible. At the bazaar, incessant entreats thrum under my feet. An eager hawker tells me how she stayed up all night, threading serpents of Saipatri to help me appease gods lurking in every corner. I do not haggle, ask for generous fistful of abhir and kesari. Last week, I spun my own cotton wicks, and today I choose the most ornate of puja thalis. On my way home, I hand out invitations to every god at every corner. As the day falls, I wash, drape myself in a derby-laced silk sari. I dance to the rhythm of my own hymns, take my time drawing aipan, trace a solid boundary around myself. The gods arrive at dusk, perform my arati. Later, the gullies are asleep. A snore escapes a window, a moan through another. I am led to the crossroads where not all things can be fixed or forgotten. Thank you. Can I just move this a little bit? That'd be okay. Yeah, okay. I had sort of an order in mind, but then I was also going to adapt as we went along, depending on how we felt. And we've talked a lot about COVID, and the reason I still have this persisting cough is because of COVID. I got it about 3 weeks ago, no, 4 weeks ago maybe, and it came here with me, like it was not invited. Honestly. So one thing over lockdown, what happened was, I struggled to engage with the poetry community through Zoom. Like I just couldn't do it online. I was reading, I was writing where I could, but I was not sharing my work with, you know, in public with community and things. And that's something I really missed. So it's lovely to be here in a pub in Cork and to be doing this. But one thing that did, that I did do was play with languages. And I love that space between different languages, and because I speak multiple languages well, but given where I live and who I live with and everything, you know, English is more of the dominant language for me now. But has anybody heard of Grace Nichols, the poet Grace Nichols? So she is a poet from Guyana. She's lived in England for a long time, and she's quite highly regarded, and I can see John nodding yes, yes. And so I was asked to translate one of her poems into Hindi last year. And it was probably one of, you know, the best work I did. Like for me, it was very satisfying creatively, because the poem I felt was something that would resonate to anybody anywhere in the world. And it talks of that communal experience we had during the pandemic. So I will read the poem in English first. That's her version. And then I'm going to read the Hindi translation. So the title is also a word we used earlier today, harbor. Harbor by Grace Nichols. When it's all over, and hopefully it will be over, I'll probably look back and miss this strange web of our togetherness. the impromptu areas at windows and balconies, the orchestra of pots and pans, and hands beating a metronome of gratitude to keep airborne the spirits of our nurses, doctors, all our caregivers, the live streaming of ballet dancers pirouetting trickily around their children. Now, like everyone else at home, all the WhatsApp calls and video links from friends and relatives, my daughter's faces surfacing on the small sky of my mobile. Yes, the virtual world can console, but watch how easily I'll trade it for the simple harbor of a hug. Right? That's why I love it so much. So now this is the Hindi version. Sahara. Jab ye sab khatam hogi, aur aasa hai ki ye khatam hogi. Sayad main mood kar dekhungi, aur yaad aayegi mujhe ye hamari ajeeb ekta ki jaal. Khidkiyon aur balconyon mein ekaek gaaye hue gaane, बर्तनों की बैंड बाजा और तालियों से दिए गए कृतज्ञता ताकि रहे ऊंची मनोबल नर्सों डॉक्टरों और सभी देखभाल करने वालों की बच्चों की इर्द गिर्द घूमते हुए पैले डांसर्स की सीधा प्रसारण अब सबकी तरह अपने घर में रहे वो व्हाट्सएप कॉल्स दोस्तों और रिश्तेदारों ने भेजे हुए वीडियो लिंक्स मेरी मोबाइल की छोटी सी आकाश में तैरती हुई मेरी बेटियों के चेहरे हाँ ये वर्चुअल संसार सांत्वना तो दे पाती है पर तुम देखना कितनी आसानी से बदलती हूँ मैं अंगलीगन की छोटी सी सहारे के लिए थैंक यू नाउ वी गोना स्टिक टू द थीम ऑफ द पेंडेमिक फॉर अ लिटिल बिट मोर And another thing the pandemic made me do was to really, really slow down. And I have two young kids, and especially in the UK, when they told us, leave the house once, do not drive, do not talk to anybody, tear your kids, they can't go to school. You've got to work though. It became, a lot of the days became about ending the day. Right, like we need to survive this day, and then watch time pass, like kill time, like, so one thing I did with the kids a lot, like most people, is just walk around in circles, like the same path over and over and over and over again, and my kids love picking blackberries, and we've done that, you know, ever since they've been able to walk, but during the pandemic, I started noticing things that I hadn't before. And this is what the poem is about. And all I can say is blackberry picking is never going to be the same again. And you'll see why. The title of this poem is Duty. The blackberry bush is an empire of ants. Its colony sprawls the woodlands, spills into fields. A banquet of plump droplets bathe in the sun, a summer party for the troops. Off duty, they scribble the bushes, ignore the lines my teachers told me they toe. Even then, I thought, I will not march. I will not be a prisoner of obligation. Uninvited but longing, I joined them anyway. My mouth glutinous, my stained fingers plunder more than my chosen loot. By the time I notice, my body is a cantonment. The queen hovers over her tour, escorted by the drones of war machines, frozen in midair, my failing arms do little to dissuade the growing squad. And then I stop, watch at the as the ergate's tiny claws tear through my clothes, my skin. It starts to rain. Defeated and bleeding, I turn my face to the sky, hold open my mouth, my throat a tunnel leading to a new colony. Is there an appetite for another translation? Or should we? Yeah? Okay. Well, like I said, I was playing around with language a lot. So this is a poem again about the pandemic, and then I'll stop, I promise. It does get tedious, doesn't it? Like, we go on and on about it. And this is a poem by one of my favorite writers, Jacqueline Saffer. And she, every day, she wrote a sonnet. So during the lockdown, she wrote a sonnet every day, and then it's come out in a book called 100 Sonnets of Lockdown, I think, or something in those lines. It was published by Narches Press, which is run by Jane Kamin, who's come here before. Some of you might have met her. And the title of the poem is I Often Try to Write, and I'll read the English version first, and this translation is in Nepali. I often try to write. I often try to write about the coots and fail. Perhaps they have a message, but I'm just a visitor. The chicks are cute. The chicks were cute, but now they're squabbling, gangly, caught out by unexpected adolescence. Mum and Dad still busy all the time, augmenting their nest, diving for weeds, guarding the brood. Is this activity profound? Maybe a test of my ability for metaphors? Apparently, it's rare for all to grow to adulthood. What with the swans, the drains, the heat, polluted water. I don't know how to help. Some days I stop and count. Sometimes I care. Sometimes I don't. And now the Nepali translation. Ma aksar lekhna prayas garchu. म अक्सर मरुलहरूको बारेमा लेख्न खोज्छु तर प्राय असफल हुन्छु सायद उनीहरूसँग कुनै सन्देश होला तर म केवल एक पाहुना नहुँ उनका चल्लाहरू निकै प्यारा थिए तर अहिले भने झगडालु र पातला छ आमा र बा अझै सधैँ व्यस्त गुणलाई विस्तार गर्दै झारको लागि डुबुल्की मार्दै गृहस्थीको रक्षा गर्दै के यो गतिविधिको कुनै गहिरो अर्थ छ सायद मेरो उपमा लेख्न सक्ने क्षमताको परीक्षण हो कि भन्छन् कि चल्लाहरू वयस्कसम्म बिरलै पुग्छन् बाधा आउँछ अनेक रूपमा जस्तै राजहाँसहरू नालीहरू अत्याधिक तापक्रम प्रदूषित पानी मलाई थाहा छैन म कसरी मद्दत गर्न सक्छु म कहिलेकाहीँ रोकिन्छु र चल्लाहरू गन्छु कुनै दिन मलाई वास्ता लाग्छ अरू दिन मलाई मतलबै लाग्दैन And with that, I promised I'd move on. So we're going to move on to an equally exciting topic, which is conflict. So like I said, I grew up in Nepal, and most of my adulthood, like late teens to my early 20s, no, more than that, actually. So there was a civil war. So that was the backdrop to my life growing up. And it lasted for nearly 10 years. And this poem that I'm going to read to you now is something I wrote in 2004. And I remember it was inspired by an article in the newspaper, but also it was something that, I was quite young. I think it was in my early 20s or late teens at the time. And that it's my reflection, and it's sort of my reflection on the conflict, and the title is Mascaras and Bracelets. Mascaras and Bracelets. The mirror stands still, mum yet reflecting, the necklace that's next after the ring and the mascara. The dress is pretty just as you wanted, and the reflection, oh my, it's almost dashing. Yet somehow the hurt and agony tend to sneak out, somehow. And the pain does show from behind the mascara and all of your show. Your smiles, they're fake, the talk, it's phony. Those touches, they're gone. I can see it. I haven't been there. Yet I see through your eyes the fire ablaze in your weeping heart. Losing your pet as a child was such a pain. You almost thought life had reached its end. And here you stand, with your love gone and having lost your faith to the war, to the guns. And yet, life shows no sign of ebbing. The war is to continue, for more are to lose bits of their hearts, part of their lives, for more are to lean on mascaras and necklaces. And agony always needs a place from where to sneak, somehow. Your love is gone, the war is on, so is the pain. But you'll survive. More lipstick, a new bracelet even, whatever it takes, you'll survive. That's gone quick, hasn't it? Okay, this is another conflict poem, and the title is The Boy I Could Have Married. We went to the same high school, the local one, only 7 minutes from mine and a little less from his. We hardly spoke, him and me. My family spoke well of him, though, and the teachers well of him, too. I was smitten, how could I not be, with a growing sense of being a woman, and he, such a perfect specimen. Life moved on. In the years between, our paths really crossed. People said I was always out with the fairies, so I let my wings, before they could be clipped, take me places where angels lived. He was more grounded. Always was so much gravitas packed in that one. Then word came that the boy I went to high school with had all but disappeared. My family spoke of his in hushed voices now. He's pretended not to know what all the whispering was about. The truth is, nobody really knew what to make of the 2 minutes' news. The whens, the whats, the hows, the guns, the deaths, the blasts. In those days when, struggling about this or mourning about that, I reminded myself how the boy I went to high school with had gone underground, treading in strong boots, shouldering guns. He didn't believe in fairies and love. I did. He didn't sing and dance to pop songs. I still do. He was made of sterner stuff. He was out for a better cause. I fled. He stayed. He believed in making this world a better place. At high school, I often imagined marrying him. I could have, you know. We never spoke, but my family spoke well of his. Maybe then I too could have been a superhero. Alongside him, do the right thing, save the world. Then our paths crossed. In the middle of the night, where I lay with my daughter's arm around me tight, I heard a bash before the glass strands hit the floor. And in he walked, flashing my face, a shade too bright. He stared. And what I saw reflected in his eyes, I could tell he recognized. Maybe he was smitten too, too many years ago. For a moment, maybe two, pausing, staring at each other, scared and confused. Me worried for my daughter, him, nostalgic maybe, nor regretful. But it didn't last, and the moment passed, reminding him what he really was about. I think there was a little hesitation, but maybe it was just in my mind. The butt of his gun smashed into the sleepy face of mine, thankfully, not hers. I didn't dare let out a cry. I fell on the ground so very slowly. Just as I crashed, I heard a bullet strike. Where do we go from that, eh? Something short is a good one. Right, wild swimming. So I have never been wild swimming, but I would like to go do wild swimming sometime, but I haven't been swimming for very long because I only learned to swim recently, as in like a few years ago, and I hate the cold. And being in the UK and not still being a very confident swimmer, I haven't managed to do that. But when I do go wild swimming, I think something like this will happen. While swimming, I dip a finger in, my body recoils. My finger insists the water is tepid. My body tells my finger, you know nothing. My finger is insulted. You are too sheltered, it claims. My body smirks, insists my finger try again. But my fingers are overworked, all that typing. And my body is exhausted, all that birthing. I wait. Neither body nor finger speak. I dip my toes in. Ah, it says, so refreshing. My body gives in. It's got no more fights left. Okay, I've got time for one short one. Can't leave you with a heavy one, can I? Okay, I'm just going to leave you with a very short one. But again, thank you very much for having me. Thank you for being such a lovely audience. Thank you to Paul for organizing this and making it still possible. Thank you for the support and hopefully future support for other people to come as well. And yeah, it's been lovely. So this is a very, very short poem. And this is what my life was a few years ago. And I don't know. It was a few years ago I wrote this. And the title is A Mother's Lament. Last summer, when after days of wet rain, the sun finally poked his head, my first thought was, what a shame it was that the washing basket stood empty. Such a waste. Thank you.